All right, here on Thankful Thursday, let me move on over to the Right Side Way opening monologue. So I'll remind you guys that the Right Side Way opening monologue every single day brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. I'm going to tell you more about Stan here in a minute, but yes, Stan McDonald, attorney in North Alabama, the sponsor of the Right Side Way. Okay, so Lawyer Williams talking here for a minute, right? As an attorney, I understand the law. I get the legal concepts of precedent and burden of proof and burden shifting. I respect that there are rules of evidence and rules of procedure. And I appreciate decorum and formality. There's always a way to do things, and there should be. I mean, the enforcement of laws, the application of justice, it should always have some measure of special and set-apart treatment. I know all the judges in my area personally, but I never call them by their first names. It's always Judge or Your Honor. And I appreciate the fact that the law has its nuances, which sometimes requires judicial discretion, even interpretation. Anytime you have a new or novel situation, the legal world refers to that as a case of first impression. It's one that may require new legal and even mental wrangling to go with it. And when that happens, it means that a judge must study and reflect and opine, but always within the confines of the law. So what is the case precedent? What are the applicable statutes? What measure of scrutiny is required? And most importantly, how does the issue before the bench stand in the face of constitutional provisions? Well, having said all that, let me just go full-on cowboy on you. I mean, you all know I use movies sometimes to help me illustrate my points, and there are several that are my go-to favorites. And yes, there's a few movies that are my bona fide Achilles heel, to be honest. If I'm flipping the channels and one of them is on, it's almost a matter of compulsion that I have to stop on that channel and watch for a few minutes at least, which usually winds up stretching into something longer. Like to name a few, you've heard me say them before, The Book of Eli, Open Range, Gladiator, the newest version of Magnificent Seven, The Outlaw Josie Wales, Jeremiah Johnson. Whew, that's some good testosterone-laden cinematic genius, all that stuff right there. And if Charlene's in the room with me, there'll be a couple of minutes of pause, at which point she'll finally say, I don't recall agreeing that we were going to watch this. Can you men relate? But there's one movie that I've told you about before that she and I both tend to agree on. It's a modern-day epic. It's filled with great acting, good scripts, and a constant string of one-liners, and that movie would be Tombstone. Now, anybody who says they don't like Tombstone, well, I'm questioning their patriotism. Any man who says they don't like Tombstone, well, I'm questioning your manhood. Not really. Well, yes, really. So there's several great scenes in Tombstone, all of which are movie history, but the one that I want to focus on today, because I'm talking about the law being blind and justice being applied evenly, I want to go to one scene in that movie today. The one scene. It's a scene in which one of the main bad guys, a member of the Cowboys named Curly Bill, he comes out of an opium den. He murders the town marshal whose name was Fred. Well, Wyatt Earp heard the shots and he rushed out there and he pistol-whipped Curly Bill. But the town folk, they loved old Fred the Marshal, and an angry crowd began to gather up immediately. And Wyatt, he knew that Curly Bill was guilty, but when the crowd got antsy and one man yelled, "Get a rope!" Wyatt's response was, "Nobody's hanging anybody. He'll stand trial for what he's done." So was Wyatt taking the side of the criminal? But then members of Curly Bill's gang showed up, the Cowboys, and they demanded that Wyatt let him go. And one of those was a guy named Ike Clanton. Ike Clanton tried to bluster his way into making Wyatt Earp let loose of the bad guy, and suddenly Ike found himself staring down the business end of a Colt Peacemaker, with Wyatt saying, "Your boys might get me in a rush, but not before I make your head into a canoe." So was Wyatt taking the side of the people at that point? I mean, in the whole three-minute segment, whose side was Wyatt Earp even on? He stopped the bad guy, but then he saved the bad guy. He denied the townsfolk their vengeance, but then he also denied Ike Clanton his attempt to subvert the legal system. So in reality, what that entire scene portrays was that Wyatt Earp's position was to take the side of justice, actual justice, not one side or the other, not biased, but the law, the enforcement and the application of the law, and the outcome supplied by the law through the application of actual non-biased on the books, keep the peace, justice. And look, that sense of actual justice is what liberal DAs and activist judges seem to have forgotten. When a liberal DA, like those so often in the news right now, says that they will not pursue the actual application of law or enforce and prosecute crimes, they often do so under the guise of helping the disenfranchised. But that's not their job. Their job is the equal application of justice. And justice and vengeance, by the way, are not the same thing. Vengeance is the enacting of punishment against somebody for a perceived wrong because there's a grievance. Justice is bigger than that. Justice is a matter-of-fact thing. Justice is even-tempered. Justice is based in both law and fact. Justice is required. It is a duty to enforce and pursue it. What is legally and naturally right, that's what you got to pursue. Vengeance is against the wrongdoer and often a matter of passion, but justice is the even-keeled protection of rights and the stability that comes from law and order, regardless of whether they are enacted on the part of the accused or the accuser or the perpetrator or the victim. So yeah, justice protects the weak. Justice defends the right way of doing things. Justice establishes order in our communities and maintains civility and upholds proper authority. Because you see, justice cares for the aggrieved, but also makes sure that passion and compassion both remain tempered and manageable. Justice is supposed to seek what is best for all. In a sense, justice sets the tone for peace, like real peace. So think back to that scene from Tombstone. What if Wyatt Earp had just joined in with the crowd and said, "Yeah, get a rope"? His character was angry. His character liked old Marshal Fred. But would you have felt as good about his character then if he had done that? Or just the opposite. What if Wyatt had just holstered his pistol and stepped away when the cowboys demanded that he release Curly Bill? I mean, it was a bad spot. They were bullies. Everyone feared him. So Wyatt Earp, he could have just like backed down and let it be. But how would you have felt about his character then? Because you see, the character built in the movie for Wyatt Earp was that he was a man of infinite courage and unmitigated cool under pressure, but he was also a man who did not let his emotions get the best of him. A man like that is what we need more of in our society. And men and women who prosecute the law, and men and women who take the bench to oversee the application of law, for them to do their jobs appropriately, they have to have those same characteristics. That willingness to set aside their emotion and their passions, and to see the even application of justice. Right now, in venues all over the nation, we're seeing an epidemic of injustice, the uneven application of the law. Agenda-driven DAs, many of whom have been backed by George Soros, are making a mockery of actual justice in places like Philadelphia, Baltimore, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, just to name a few. Pursuing soft-on-crime policies that have eliminated the pursuit of real sentencing for violent and gang-related crime, those cities, and others like them, are not seeing justice. They are not living in law and order, and as a result, it's much harder for them to know peace. But we're seeing the same on the bench right now as judges preside over proceedings in which facts and evidence are presented. And while I fully understand that any judge is a person first with personal thoughts and personal desires, they are also, all the same, not allowed to bring personal agendas into the even and equal distribution of the law. Look, I've stood before some good judges and some bad judges. I've won most things I've gone to court on, but I've also had some that I didn't. But only once in a while have I felt the judge was somehow predisposed or had some agenda or that my client was not well served to be in front of that judge. They're out there. The application of law, y'all, it's a sacred thing. You see, we're a nation of laws. It sets us apart from much of our world history. We are not allowed to let whims and prejudices and agendas or predispositions enter into the prosecution of citizens, nor to be on the bench. But in our polarized society, we're seeing that that very objectivity too often goes out the window. Activists are not only acting, but seeking the ability to strip the blindfold off of Lady Justice. In a nation of laws, there's no room for courtroom activists. Lawyers come and lawyers go, but prosecutors and judges, they have a much higher burden of responsibility. And we need more constitutionally grounded, fair-minded, objective, and dispassionate men and women in those positions of such esteem and import. Our society needs it. Basically, we need some more Wyatt Earps to step up. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.